Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the love that you have for us. And Lord, would you increase our love for you? Lord, as we continue to worship you by opening up your word, Lord, would you make it clear to us? Would you show us something new? Make it refreshing and life-giving to us? And God, I pray that we do not leave this room the same way we walked in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I'm listening and singing that lost song, I'm just kind of lost in his love. You know, we're singing about and saying, my Jesus, I love these, but I can't think about my love for God unless I'm thinking about his overwhelming love for me. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the steadfast love of the Lord that endures forever. And that was the beginning of our series through Psalms of Thanksgiving. And today we're going to jump to another and very familiar psalm as we look at our Good Shepherd. But before we do that, I want to tell you a story about my dog, okay? I have a German Shepherd, and boy, having a dog, really, you go into it. Ashley and I got Allie, is her name. We got married, and we said, okay, we want a dog, because we both grew up with dogs, but not for a while. You know, we want to get settled, and maybe a year or two down the road. Well, a month later, we brought this dog home, and wild, crazy German Shepherd, and we've had her ever since. And there's nothing more like a dog to make you realize that your love is really conditional, okay? You know what I'm saying, right? There are times where, boy, I really love this dog, and there's other times where she eats, you know, my son's sock, you know, in one gulp, and I'm just like, oh. In fact, with Allie, there's been times where she's annoyed me so much that I've opened up the front door, where normally I open up the front door and she's ready to go. You know, she, what's out there? I gotta run and see. But there's been times where I've opened up the front door and I've said, go, you're free, I'm done, it's over, it's been fun, these 7.5 years have been a good time, but I'm done. And let me tell you, this dog, she's too smart. Because normally she'd be out that door, but when I do that, she just kind of looks at me like, no, you're stuck with me, right? But I remember one time Ashley and I were early on married and we went camping. And we took Allie with us, and we're in the tent, and it's dark out, and Allie is cuddling down, and she's ready to sleep, and all of a sudden we heard a noise. There's a coyote, and then we heard another coyote, and boy, she was up, she was rigid, and I'm kind of like trying to pet her, and it was, she was just, every muscle in her body was engaged, and so Ashley and I, you know, Ashley's saying, should we be worried about the coyotes? And I look at this 95-pound German Shepherd, and I'm like, I think we're fine, you know? So we fell asleep to the beautiful sound of coyotes, but more so the comforting sound of a German Shepherd going, all night long, okay? It was kind of like the white noise, right? And so finally, we wake up next morning, pack up the campsite, and we were driving back home. It was a long drive back home, and this dog is just wiped out. She is just completely tired, and the rest of the day, this dog who has endless energy, she was sleeping the rest of the day because I think she growled all night long and stood on guard all night long, and I'm thinking about that illustration of a dog that is on guard. I'm thinking about when I go on walks with Ashley or Eli or other folks, and Eli maybe runs a little bit ahead, and the dog is going crazy because she has to make sure everybody in the pack is together. So if Eli runs 15 feet ahead, Allie, she'll break free and she'll just run circles around us. She makes sure that we're all together, we're all safe. And one last thing, not only will a dog teach you that your love is unconditional, a kid is a really good mirror, because oftentimes Eli will unpromptedly say words like, no, Allie, bad Allie. Stop, Allie. Go away, Allie. Causes me to reevaluate how I'm talking to my dog. But she's a good dog. And as much as this dog really loves us and cares for us and has an unconditional love for us and has this ingrained desire to protect us, infinitely more is our God. Our God is our protector. Our God is unconditionally loving us. Our God is on guard 24/7, growling at the forces of darkness on our behalf. We have a good shepherd, don't we? We have an awesome, awesome God who cares for us more than we could ever understand. So open up to Psalm chapter 23. This is a wonderful psalm, and many of you may know it. Seems as though this psalm often gets read at maybe funerals or if you're going to the hospital to visit somebody who's sick. It's one of those comforting ones, and it is. But it's not just simply for folks that are dying or grieving. It's for all of us all the time. It's for all believers in all circumstances to know that our shepherd is a good shepherd. Our shepherd is a loving shepherd. Our shepherd is a caring and protecting shepherd. And verse 1 is one of those verses that you can really emphasize a different word each reading, and it means something slightly different, and it hits you a little bit different way. Let me explain. So if we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," it reminds us that He is the Lord. It's not a Lord. It's not one of many. No, it's one God. That's it. One Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Go on, and we emphasize a different word. The Lord is my shepherd. Ever think of it that way? It's not just another human being. It's not just a good person. It's not just you're assigned a nice dog. No, the Lord. This is God who has created the universe, galaxies. This is God who sits on His throne and laughs at the world that is falling apart and says, "Come on, just turn to me." This is God who is sovereign. This is God who is in control of everything, omnipotent, all-powerful, the Lord. He's not too busy to be your shepherd. He doesn't have too many things going on. No, He is a personal God. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's another word to emphasize. The Lord is my shepherd. Not was, not will be, not might be, is. There's a present aspect to who our God is. There is a working at the moment, right here, right now, in the present. He is shepherding you. He is caring for you. The Lord is. He is an active shepherd. Lord is my shepherd. We go back to that aspect of this God who created everything. He's so big. He's so beyond our understanding. Isaiah 55 says that His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He is so above and beyond. And yet, He's so personal, isn't He? The Lord is my shepherd. You and I, if we have put our trust in Jesus Christ, we have the right to be called sons and daughters of God. You hear that? The right, the privilege. If we have put our trust in Jesus Christ, that means you can and should and do have a personal relationship with the God who created everything. That good shepherd, He's your shepherd. He's my shepherd. Lord is my shepherd. You ever think about that word, shepherd? There's a lot tied up in it, isn't there? A shepherd is one that not only cares for the flock, not only looks after the flock, but also defends the flock. Bears and lions come and try to steal the sheep. And what did David do? David was a shepherd. What did he do? He killed them with his bare hands, the Bible says. I'm sure there's some people out there today that are thinking, how did he do that? I got this gun and I I got all, no, never mind. Anyway, not a hunter. Be fun, but I'm not. So I don't know how it all works. But David, he defends his flock, our God. He defends us. He looks after us. He cares for us. He's a shepherd. Shepherd is also, will get loud sometimes when the sheep is wandering away. I told a story about how if I'm on a walk and Eli starts getting ahead and my dog's on a leash, and what will she do? She'll start barking, and there's no off switch, okay? She just barks and barks and barks, and she's so loud, and neighbors or people walking by are like, "What's wrong with your dog?" I'm like, I don't know. I've tried to figure this out. But if I let go of the leash, she stops barking because she goes and she runs, and she gently, literally gently and firmly brings Eli back. She won't let him keep walking. She'll get and she'll stand in his way. And he tries to, that's where the move alley comes into play. So he'll try to go this way and she'll go this way. He'll try to rush this way and she'll get in his way. Don't we do that with our God though? He's yelling at us. He's trying to get our attention. He's saying, "No, don't go that way. That's dangerous. That's wrong." And we say, "But I want to. This is the path that I'm blazing. I got this, God." And he'll stand in our way and we'll say, "No, God, move." And he'll get in our way again. "No, no." Throw things in our way time and time again. And we somehow think that we're smarter than the shepherd. Us silly, dumb sheep that are prone to wander. We think that we're more wise, more smart, have it more together than the great shepherd. Sheep are really dumb animals, aren't they? Right? They eat. They're defenseless. They're known actually to walk off of cliffs sometimes because they're just looking down and they're just eating what's in front of them, and they can. There are cases of a sheep just falling off a cliff because it's eaten. Sheep are dumb. Really dumb. You know what the Bible talks about us as a lot? Sheep. Awesome. It's really nice. But boy, isn't it good that we recognize who we are? Isn't it good that we recognize our tendencies, our defaults? The song says it, the hymn says it so well. We are prone to wander. We are prone to go our own way. We are prone to think that we can do it, but no, we're defenseless. We don't know the way. We need our good shepherd. Let's read the whole psalm together, and I want to point out a couple of things as we go along. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wanted to point out a transition that takes place here in Psalm 23. If we look at the first three verses, David, as he's writing, he's referring to the Lord. He's saying, using the pronoun he. He's saying, "The Lord, he's my shepherd. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his righteousness' sake. For his name's sake, he makes me lie down." It's like he's talking to us about his God. He's saying, "Let me tell you who my shepherd is. He's really great. He's really awesome." And then in verse 4, it's almost like he gets distracted from that. He's saying, "Let me tell you about my God." And then his focus shifts and he starts talking to God. He said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me." He goes from talking about God to talking to God. And oftentimes when we read this psalm, we in our minds get this picture of David, young, scruffy David. He's out in the fields, he's with his sheep, and maybe he's just pondering and he's just writing. But actually, this psalm was most likely written later on in David's life, after he had gone through difficult times, horrible hardships. In fact, this psalm is most likely written about the time that David's own son was trying to kill him, was trying to dethrone him, was trying to overthrow, involved in a coup. And David's most likely writing this psalm at that time. Think about that. This isn't just something that was abstract to David. This isn't just something that David's like, yeah, I'm a shepherd. God's a shepherd. This will be a really awesome psalm. One day, you know, people will recite it at funerals. This is awesome. No, I see this as David reflecting on his life. All the ups and all the downs. And in David's life, there was a lot of downs. All the muck and the mire, the literal valley of the shadow of death. He's gone through it all, and in the midst of all, he can reflect, look back on his life, look at his present situation, and say, yep, through it all, God's got me. Yep, through it all, my God is my shepherd. Through it all, my God has protected me. He has guided me. He has kept me from harm. Through it all, my God is good, no matter what my circumstance has been. It's a neat way to view this. There's also a really cool thing that can be found here in the psalm. We see various ways that God can be viewed, or various names of God. And I put them up here for you if you wanted to check them out. I shall not want. The Lord will provide, won't he? Think about those times where you're wondering how you're going to pay for that bill, or you're thinking about how you are going to make that deadline, or how you are going to be enough for that spouse or that relationship, that person. You're thinking, how am I going to do this? How many times has God provided for you? More than you could count, I guarantee it. I guarantee that we have missed God providing for us time and time again, haven't we? In the New Testament, Jesus is talking and he's saying, why is everyone worrying? Look at the birds of the air. They're not worrying. They're just doing what they were designed, what they were created to do. Oftentimes, don't we just worry? We let our anxiety and our fear just creep in, and we start seeing the problem when really we need to look to our God who's already created the answers. Our God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. But he's also the Lord of peace, isn't he? The Lord our peace. David says, he leads me beside still waters. Think about that right now. Is peace something that you or anybody that you know might need a little bit of these days? Jesus, when he's appearing to his disciples all throughout the New Testament, I love this. The disciples are in the middle of a storm on the boat, and Jesus is taking a nap below. And he walks up and he goes, what's going on? Peace. Or the disciples again are in a boat in the middle of a storm, and they're worrying, and they see Jesus walking on water, and they think, oh, it's a ghost. It's something that's unnatural. What is happening? And Jesus says, it's me. Peace. Disciples are worried because they think that the Romans and the Jews are coming after them. They've just seen Jesus nailed to a cross. They buried him, and they're wondering, what's going to happen to us? They're hiding. Jesus appears to them. He resurrects from the dead. He appears to them. What's the first thing he says to them? Peace. We have the Prince of Peace. We have the God of Peace. He is our peace. There is nothing that we encounter in this life that is too big for our God. And there is no day that God hasn't already seen. I love that song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. Our God has already been to tomorrow. He already has written it. Why are we worried? Why are we anxious? Why are we worrying about that political figure? Why are we worrying about this thing that's happening in our work? Why are we worrying about that thing that's happening in our family? I think what we need to do is just go beside those still waters that our good shepherd has prepared for us and sit down and rest. And know that the God who literally has created the universe, he knows about our cares. He knows about our anxieties. He knows about all these things. And he has instructed us to cast all those cares, all those worries, all those burdens. He's instructed us. He's commanded us to take all those things and cast them and give them to him. We have a God of peace. We should be a people of peace. When people look at us, they should say, wow, what a peaceful person. Wow, they're steady. They're not worried about the things that are happening in culture. They're not worrying about the things that are happening because they know the ending. Our God is a God of peace. He restores our soul. He heals. He heals the brokenhearted. The Lord is our healer. Isn't that neat? Any broken people out there? Anybody who's ever gone through something and you get through it and you look back and you go, wow, I was low. Wow, I didn't ever think I could be put back together. He heals. He heals us. He heals relationships. He's a great restorer. In fact, the whole story of the Bible is about God healing things. It's about God restoring things. It's about God taking what was broken and making it new and putting it back together. You look at the gospel, and it doesn't just start with Genesis 3. That's where Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God and got this whole thing rolling. But no, the gospel starts at Genesis chapter 1. When God created and he said it was good. When God created mankind, Adam and Eve, and he said it was very good. That's what it should be. This great relationship with God. Wonderful perfection. Sin destroyed all that. And what is God doing? He's putting it back together. He's putting the pieces back together. Jesus came so that we could be healed. Jesus came because so that our relationship with God could be restored. The Lord who heals. Then again, in the psalm, we keep reading, and he says, you are with me in the valley of the shadow of death. You are with me. We have a very present God, don't we? The Lord is there. Isn't that awesome? You're not alone. Even when you think you're alone, you're not alone. Even when you look around and you say, yep, I'm alone. You're not alone. Your eyes are deceiving you because the Lord, he is ever present. God is with you. Not only in the sense of understanding that God is omnipotent and omnipresent, and he's all powerful, but he's always there. Not only that, but if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, if he is your Lord and Savior, then you know what happened? The moment that you believed in Jesus, the moment that you accepted him as Savior, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit of God is indwelling you. He made his home inside of you. That's pretty neat. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. We are never alone. Jesus, he's talking to his disciples and he said, it's better, it's more advantageous for you that I leave, because when I leave, I'm going to send the great comforter, the Holy Spirit. So it's better that I leave because he will always be with you. Me, here in the flesh, Jesus is talking, he's saying, I'm here, but if I'm going to go to the next town, you don't see me anymore. I come and go. I'm in flesh. But it's better for you, for me to leave, to go to heaven, and the Holy Spirit to come and be with you indwell you because he is always with you. He's never leaving. If we look at another psalm that is famous as well and covered next week, actually, Psalm 51, David says, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come for a specific time, a specific purpose, and rest on a person. And David, he's in the midst of sin. And Dave's preaching next week, and I'm kind of giving it away. I'm so sorry. But it just fits. And David, he's saying, "I've sinned, Lord. I'm so sorry. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't have to pray that prayer. Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. You sin, he doesn't say, "Oh, well, I'm out." It would be like a revolving door. You understand that, right? No, he doesn't leave us. He's made his home. He has set up his dwelling place inside of us. So we don't have to say, "No, Holy Spirit, don't leave me. Please, please don't leave me." No, he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. There are plenty of times where we could stiff-arm him and say, "Nope, I got it. I don't need you. I don't need your leading. I don't want you right now." We do that very often. But he's not leaving us. He is the God that is there, the Lord who is there. And then David continues and says, "You anoint my head with oil." The Lord sanctifies. He takes things that are unholy and he makes them holy. He takes things that are dirty and he makes them clean. Jesus has done this for us. He has died on the cross so that you and I, sinners by nature and by choice, aliens and strangers, enemies of God, we can be called holy. We can be sanctified through his blood. The God that we believe in is a God who sanctifies. He's a God that looks at us and says, "You're broken, you're messed up, you're dirty, and I want you." The really neat thing is, of maybe you've heard this phrase, "come as you are," right? Ever hear of a "come as you are" church? Typically talking about a church that like has holes in the jeans and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, come as you are. Sure, come as you are. But expect God to change you. God wants you as you are, but he's not going to leave you as you are because he loves you too much. He is, as I said a couple weeks ago, friend of sinners. And as a friend of sinners, Jesus makes sinners saints. He's a God who sanctifies. That's incredible. We have a really, really good shepherd. I want to flip real quick to Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 13, I'll begin reading, says this, "Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' I said to him, 'Sir, you know.'" It's a really good, I wish I would have known this when I was in school, right? The teacher asked me something, and John, the elder, comes and he says, "Who are these people dressed in white robes?" And John says, "You know. Why don't you tell me?" I really wish I would have known that in school, right? Teacher says something, he asks a question, and I said, "Well, you know, there's two of us here. One of us knows the answer. Why don't you share?" Right? That's exactly what happens, by the way. "And he said to me," this is the elder talking again, "'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he sits on the throne, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Our great shepherd is the Lamb who was slain, this perfect sacrifice. Our great shepherd is the Lamb. Isn't that neat? And as I read that passage, there's some words in there that remind me of another passage. So I flip the page a couple, and it gets to Revelation chapter 21. And it says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who is seated at the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Our God is a good shepherd. And he isn't just thinking about today. You and I, we tend to just think about today. Our problems, our worries, the things right in front of us. You know why we just tend to think about today? Because we're sheep. Because we're dumb. But our good shepherd, he's thinking about our today, but he's also thinking about our tomorrow. He's thinking about our eternity. He's thinking about the day where he will make everything new. He will wipe away every tear. He'll take away every pain. Sin and death will be no more. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more worrying. There'll be no more mourning. All the old things have passed away because Jesus has made all things new. What an awesome shepherd. What a good, good God we have. We need to be thankful, don't we? This whole month is about thankfulness. This whole time that we have is about looking at the things that we have that we might take for granted and that we ought to be thankful for. And folks, Jesus is who we ought to be thankful for. Our good and awesome God, who is our great good shepherd, we need to be thankful for him. We need to find our rest in him. This isn't a very restful time of the year, I think, for many people. Cooking and certainly the eating part, that's not very restful, is it? Think about the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. We think about all the things that just get crammed on our to-do list. And in the midst of everything, we can run past the shepherd. We can run past the rest that we can have in him. We can run past the awesomeness that is our God. Let's not do that. So not only as we enter into Thanksgiving, but as we enter into the Christmas season too, next week or so, because I know some people, Christmas doesn't start till the day after Thanksgiving. Yeah, I don't know about that one. I celebrate the birth of my Savior every day of the year. No, okay. But I'm serious here. In the midst of all this time that this time of the year has, everything, make sure that you're finding rest in our good shepherd. Make sure that you're thanking him for his good and awesome gifts. And above all, make sure that you're thanking him for who he is. Not just what he's done, but who he is. And as you do all that, maybe you'll do some self-evaluation, some reflection, and you'll answer the question, who is he to me? Is he just this vending machine in the sky that I push the right buttons, I say the right prayer, and I get what I want? Is he just this routine that I go through? I show up every Sunday and I hear something and then I feel good for a couple hours and I go back to the rest of my day. Is he eternal fire insurance to you? Who is God to you? Who is this great shepherd that we've been talking about? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Do you have a relationship with him? And if you do, how's it going? These are good questions to do self-evaluation. Look in the mirror every single day. Am I thankful for my good and awesome shepherd? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. And we also do thank you for all that you've done. We thank you that you are our good shepherd, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, you're always there. You protect us, you correct us, you watch out for us. You're a good, good shepherd. And we don't deserve you. But we're so thankful that we have you. We're so thankful for your love. We're so thankful for Jesus. Lord, help us to carry this with us every single day. To not lose track of it in the midst of the busy season. But every single day, every single moment, let us be so aware of who you are and what you've done that it just overflows into everything we do. Everything we think, everything we say, everything that we do, Lord, let it be a reflection of who you are and the miracle that you've done in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.